Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield. There's a battle for the soul of America. We can't let him tear the kingdom down. This is no game. This is war. Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is war. The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul. Satan's armies come to kill.
This is war. Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 3 July 2024. Now, I'll make mention again, tomorrow being the 4th, we'll not be in office tomorrow, folks. So everybody's going to take a day off. I'm sure most of y'all are too, so we won't be in office tomorrow. Back in the regular schedule starting next week. I want y'all to have a good Independence Day. It doesn't mean it. Well, I used to. I know that. But enjoy your family nonetheless and realize our independence in Christ is what really matters. And don't forget, we are going to have Bible study this coming Saturday, Lord willing, at 10:30 a.m. Eastern. You can join us for the first half-hour prayer request, praise reports. And then 11:30, 12:30, we get into Christian worldview news, prophecy in the news. Then from 1 to 2, we'll finish the lesson I started on how Sodom conquered America. How Sodom conquered America. And listen, folks, it's going to shake your tree a little bit, but that's okay. I told the truth. Sodom did conquer America, and the church didn't fire a shot, so to speak. That's all there is to it. And don't forget the specials are offering this time, this month, 10% off of all literature in the catalog, whether it's books or other materials, 10% off all literature in the catalog. And the flags we offer four flags. And I love flying the Christian flag. That's my favorite one. If everyone that calls himself Christian would fly the Christian flag, we would outnumber the homosexual flags. Unfortunately, the Christians are not committed to Christ as the Sodomites are to their cause. Sad, isn't it? But it's true. If it wasn't, we wouldn't be in this mess. It's just that easy. Nonetheless, four flags. The Christian flag, colonial flag, Confederate battle flag, and don't tread on me flag. Normally $55 for all four of them, now $45. Or if you want the Christian flag alone, and I would like to thank that everyone out there tonight who calls himself a Christian, I want this flag to fly somewhere on their property if at all possible. Regular price $15, $12, folks. That includes shipping. You can call our office at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448 and order to call Lisa and tell them what you want, whether it be that or other products, vitamin, toothpaste, mouthwash, straws, products, whatever. Call and tell them what you want. Use credit card, debit card, or get our address and write a check. Whatever you want to do, it's fine with us. I just know the last couple months, order-wise, has been the slowest I've ever seen in this ministry. I've been on the air over 31 years. I'm telling the truth. And don't forget, we just went up today and paid the fee to rent the Veterans Memorial Park in Somersville, West Virginia, for our Natural Family Day. On August 31st, at the Veterans Memorial Park in Somersville, West Virginia, we're going to have a Natural Family Celebration Day to fly in contrast to the gay pride trash Now, folks, there's video online. If you don't believe me, look this up, what happened in San Francisco. Men and women having sex scenes in the street. Said laws were broken, but nobody was arrested. At least not that I know of. Right in front of children. And we stand by as a whole and do nothing. So if you will join us, I don't care where you're from, you're welcome to come to Natural Family Day, August 31st in Summersville, West Virginia. There are motels all over that town if you don't spend the night or drive in on a Saturday. We're going to start about noon with fellowship. There are picnic tables all over the place. We rented two picnic areas, both of them sheltered. If you want to bring a lunch, fellowship for a couple hours, we're going to have a few speakers join us. And it's not going to be an all-day, all-night affair. It's going to be just a 4 or 5 hour affair to let people know where we stand with the natural family. And we're not ashamed of being Christians. I hope you'll join us. I really do. There's no charge. No charge. We'll probably take up donations to help pay for the park and everything else, but there's no charge. We want you to come and join us. If you can't afford a penny, that's all right. If you can't afford a lunch, don't worry about it. Somebody there will give you a sandwich. Come and join us. August 31st in Summersville at this Veterans Memorial Park. I hope you'll join us. Our guest tonight is a young man, and that really ticks me off. He's a young man. He's still wet behind the ears. And he possesses the knowledge that I could never attain to, I don't think, no matter how hard I studied. I read a book he wrote, I read it several months ago now, is The Earth As It Was. What a powerful, powerful teaching on the antediluvian age and what happened before the flood. He's got a book out now, his first book, he said, but I just read about what was in it. I'm going to get a copy of it, about ancient cities. I'm going to read a little bit of an introduction to this, and then bring up our guest, Micah Van Hoos. Who were the Nephilim? What really happened at the Tower of Babel? Where is Atlantis? Who are the Shining Ones? Are these questions relevant to our walk with God and understanding of the creation? Jesus said that it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus also said to be ready for your turn that comes like a thief in the night. Ancient cities that takes an uncomfortable look at the days of Noah and many other topics so that we can be ready for our Savior's return. Topics that God chose to include in his word are worth taking the time to study. Ancient cities looks at the antediluvian world from a solid biblical foundation. Why are the stories of giants scattered throughout Scripture as well as our world today? Why did Joshua kill not only the men, but also the women, children, and livestock of Anakim Rephaim? What parallels do we find between the Bible and ancient Greek mythology? Ancient cities studied Mount Olympus and the Greek gods whose tales shape our culture today. Why did the Romans at Lystra in the Bible think that Paul and Barnabas were the Roman gods Hermes and Zeus? Ancient cities examines the city of Rome's important role in spreading Christianity. John Micah Hoos has the studies, the topics that your Sunday school teacher wouldn't talk about. So we're going to talk to Micah about a lot of things, but I want to start out about this book. Again, folks, and I say this seriously, I don't say this about a lot of men, but I respect this man's knowledge. I really do. He's a young man, relatively young man. Compared to me, he's a really young man. But he has a knowledge that most people will never possess. I asked him how he did it today, and he said because he is passionate about what he's learning. And God bless his heart, he's certainly doing a good job of it. Micah, are you there?
I am there, Pastor. I appreciate the kind words.
Well, you're more than welcome, and I mean it too, every word of it. I mean, whatever books you have available, I want to see. Don't forget me, okay?
Yes, sir.
I want to see them, but I definitely want to see the one Ancient Cities. But tell the folks, for the new listeners, and we have new listeners all the time, picked up a new network here a couple months ago. I'm sure we have new listeners. They say we're getting over 2,000 a night now on the new station, on the new network. So tell the folks who Micah Van Hoos is and what you've done in the past, and how did you get caught up in all this?
All right. So I got my degree from Pensacola Christian College in computer science. That was about 24 years ago now. And it was at Pensacola. See, I was saved at the age of 7, but it was at Pensacola that I first read my Bible through from cover to cover, and God became real to me. He felt real, and I developed a personal relationship with him. After Pensacola Christian, I joined the Marine Corps. I did 4 deployments, 3 to Iraq, 1 to Afghanistan, with the Marine Corps and Department of Defense as a Marine sniper. Then I ran for office, the Tennessee House of Representatives, 2012. I was elected and served in the Tennessee House of Representatives for 8 years. I got the honor of passing the heartbeat bill here in Tennessee and the fight against abortion. And then I have been working for Southwest Radio Ministries for almost 2 years now, and it's the best job I've ever had. You asked how do I learn all this stuff? Well, I get paid to learn all this stuff. I get paid to write books and speak, and best job I've ever had. And so how did I come about my desire for this stuff? It was about 20 years ago when I was home from Iraq on 1 deployment. My brother, he showed me Genesis chapter 6. And he showed me that what I had been taught my whole life is that God chose Noah to survive the flood because Noah was righteous. Well, if you look at the King James, most of the translations, yes, it says Noah was righteous, but it also says that Noah was perfect in his generation.
That's right.
Well, his bloodline was pure. So what does that mean? Well, you go back 4 or 5 verses, go back 8 verses to the beginning of the chapter, the sons of God came into the daughters of men and had children with them. There were giants in the earth in those days and also after that. So when my brother showed me Genesis 6, verse 8 and 9, where Noah was chosen to survive the flood because his bloodline had not been tainted with that of the giants, that fascinated me. And so I started studying everything I could on the topic, reading books, watching YouTube videos. And the first book that I read after learning that was The Nephilim and the Pyramid of the Apocalypse. And that is kind of the theme of the book that you were talking about right now, which is Ancient Cities and the Gods Who Built Them. It's the idea that there's a lot of technology from the ancient past that is too advanced for humankind to have calculated and built on their own. We're talking about the pyramids. We're talking about Machu Picchu. We're talking about megaliths that point to the stars. So that is kind of the genesis of that book to kind of study that topic.
Okay. So you've been doing this now how many years?
22, 23 years maybe.
Wow.
Well, as far as writing and speaking, I've been doing that for 2 years. But I've had the desire in studying it for 22 years.
So you started, you said, in Genesis chapter 6, and it went from there, started getting your inner, started getting piqued. So you've been studying this then for a couple decades anyway.
Yes, sir.
And are you still amazed at what you learn sometimes?
Absolutely. It's unreal, the things. I'm currently writing my 4th book, Angels Eternal, War of the Princes, and I have been writing this week about the Divine Council, the Divine Council of Elohim, and it is a fascinating topic. I've studied a little bit in the past, but I'm really doing a deep dive into the angelic realm, and so that includes the Divine Council we find in Psalm chapter 82, Psalm chapter 89, and throughout Scripture, and just a fascinating topic. Learning new stuff every day. The book of Daniel tells us that towards the end, knowledge will be increased. That obviously refers to the internet, but man, there's just so much stuff that we're able to discover and share with one another that we weren't able to before the internet or before television or before radio. And it's just a good time to be alive.
Well, you know, God's word is infinite in itself. We can study, if we were given 3 lifetimes, we would still never understand it all. It's too far advanced for our little feeble minds to comprehend. But you've done such a great job, and you make the question that, you know, you already told us who Nephilim was, but what did happen to the Tower of Babel? Where did it go? I mean, where was Atlantis? Tell us that.
Okay. So Atlantis, straight to the answer to your question, I believe that Atlantis is not the lost city of Atlantis. I believe Atlantis is the destroyed city of Atlantis. I believe that its remains are the reshot structure, and if anybody's listening, they can Google that. The reshot structure, or it's also called the Eye of the Sahara. That's in northwest Africa, and it is a circular anomaly in the Atlas Mountains in Mauritania of northwest Africa. Well, there's a number of reasons why I believe that Atlantis was located there. First of all the terrain around the Eye of the Sahara right now today matches the description that Plato wrote about Atlantis in his work, The Critias. And he describes it as having elephants all over the land, and of course Mauritania is where that is. Poseidon was the quote-unquote god, the lowercase god of Atlantis, and he had five sets of twin sons. His first 10 sons were twins, and the first one was Atlas. And where do we find the Eye of the Sahara? In the Atlas Mountains. But in Mauritania has the highest rate of twins today, birth rate of twins. So those are some of the evidences, but there have been found two ancient maps that have the word Atlantis and right where the research structure is in Northwest Africa. And, of course, you can find one of these maps in the book, Ancient Cities and the Gods Who Built Them. You can also go online if folks are listening and want to go online. One of them is from 480 A.D. I forgot the cartographer's name, but it has the word Atlantis in Northwest Africa. There's also a Roman map from, I think, the 1st century A.D., that again shows Atlantis, has the word Atlantis written in Northwest Africa. If folks are interested in the book Ancient Cities and the Gods Who Built Them, or my other books, as you already mentioned, you can get a hold of me at marginalmysteries.com, marginalmysteries.com. Not only do I have those books and other things, but also the links to my YouTube page, Facebook. I try to do about two videos a month of these topics, and so you can check that out there. But as far as the location of Atlantis, Plato says that it was west of the Pillars of Heracles, and that is widely known as the Straits of Gibraltar. And while the Eye of Sahara is west of those pillars, it's really, really more south, but it's technically still west. Now, a lot of folks thought that the Andes Islands out in the Atlantic Ocean were the city of Atlantis. The city of Atlantis was not underwater, per se. That's a Disney popularized that a couple of decades ago. The description of Atlantis survives on Egyptian hieroglyphs. I forgot the name of the city off the top of my head. But the hieroglyphs say that the destruction of Atlantis was 11,600 years ago. I think that the timing of the world and carbon dating is not exactly correct, so I don't think we know the exact time. But according to the Egyptian hieroglyphs, the timing of the destruction of Atlantis matches with what scientists call the Younger Dryas period, which was the last ice age, the comet destruction. I think that all coincides with the flood. I'm not saying the flood was 11,600 years ago. I think the flood was 5,250-60 years ago. So the timing I don't think is exactly correct, but carbon dating is a flawed process. But let me digress off of that. So it coincides, and then the Egyptian hieroglyphs were passed on through a few Greek gentlemen down to Plato, who finally recorded it in the Critias. So it's an ancient mythological city that I think was real. And if you're ready, there's a couple of scriptural references that actually the story of the city of Atlantis actually mirrors some things that happen in scripture. Are you ready for that one?
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk about, and of course I'm writing about the Divine Council right now in my fourth book, Angels Eternal. The Divine Council is found primarily in Psalm chapter 82. Again, if you're listening and you're able to read your Bible or you're able to go online, Psalm 82 is only 8 verses long, and it is one of the most mysterious chapters in the entire Bible. It says in verse 1, God sits among the gods. And then it goes on to talk about God's telling the lowercase gods that they better start treating their human subjects better, or he is going to cast them to the earth like one of the princes. And in verse 6, God tells them, ye are gods, but you will die like men. So this, what we're seeing, is the divine council. God, and when we say lowercase gods, these are angels. These are spiritual beings. They're not. They are powerful compared to humans because they're spiritual beings. But they are not. God is omnipotent, omnipresent, and God is the God of gods, as Scripture says a number of times in the Psalms and also in Exodus chapter 15. God is the King of kings, the God of gods. And then Psalm 89 backs up this divine council, talking about the gods in the sky. Job chapter 2 talks about God meeting with the sons of God in heaven, and Satan walks among them. There's another reference, Deuteronomy chapter 4, talks about the worship of the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the gods that God rules over. So there's a number of instances in Scripture that talk about these gods. So I say all that. Let's link this to Atlantis. Excuse me, link Atlantis to Scripture. One of the points I like to make in my works is that there's a whole lot more truth to mythology than a lot of folks would like to admit. We don't look at the Bible through the lenses of mythology. We look at the mythology through the lenses of the Bible. I think the Bible is the correct version, and these mythological stories have some truths in them that actually point to Scripture. So let's do that. We're talking about the Divine Council. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 7, 8, and 9. This is right after the Tower of Babel incident. God, in verse 8, divides the world into 70 different nations. When he confounds the languages, he divides the world into 70 different languages, 70 different nations. Verse 9, the next verse, is where God chooses Israel as his chosen people. That's the point in Scripture where that happens. But God numbers the nations according to the number of the children of Israel, which is 70. There are 70 descendants that came out of into Egypt with Jacob, and so the 70 is the number of children of Israel. Well, the Greek Septuagint translates it a little different. The Greek Septuagint says God gives the nations to the Angelos Theos, which is the angels of God, and the Dead Sea Scrolls portion that is found says that God gives those nations to the Bnei HaElohim, which is the exact same wording from Genesis chapter 6 and Job chapter 2, the sons of God. So I do believe that God sets angels to rule over these nations. Well, let's go to mythology. The very first thing, like the third paragraph in the story of Atlantis, Plato records that there was a time when the gods divided the world among themselves. We also see this in Roman and Greek mythology when the Olympians fight the Titans in a war called the Titanomachy. After the Olympians win that war, they divide the world among themselves. We're talking about Zeus, Poseidon, and Hades. They divide the world among the gods. So we're seeing things in mythology that actually point to Scripture, and that's Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8. And so there's other backups for Scripture from some of the mythologies, and that is Psalm chapter 82, as we already talked about, when Elohim sits among the gods, and then he judges them on their treatment of humankind. Well, guess what? In the story of Atlantis, in the city of Atlantis, there is a pillar of laws in the very center of the city, and every few years, the lowercase gods, Atlas and his brothers, and Poseidon, they come together around that pillar of laws, and they judge each other on their treatment of their human subjects. That's exactly what Psalm chapter 82 is talking about. So it's a fascinating topic. There's a lot more truth to mythology than a lot of folks like to admit, and so that is just fascinating to me when mythology actually points to Scripture.
You know, a lot of people would say, well, now, why is this important in the scheme of everything? I mean, why is this important? We know Christ is the Son of God. He died for our sins. We love him. We're born again. Why should we seek this knowledge? What's your answer to that?
Three points. First of all, God chose to include it in his word, and so I think that anything that God chooses to include in his word is worthy of study. Point number two, do not lose sight of the fact of the message of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the central point of history. He is the central point of Scripture. And so we can study all these awesome things on the side, but it's all for naught if people don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So Jesus is the primary focus. When God says he preserves his word, I do believe that he has preserved the message of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ did for us. The other reason why I think this is worthy of study is the fact that Jesus Christ himself says, to be ready for his return, that it comes as a thief in the night. It also says, Jesus himself says, be ready for his return, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. So how can we be ready for Jesus Christ's return if we like in the days of Noah? There were giants in the earth in those days. There were the angels who rebelled against Elohim and came down to the earth on Mount Hermon in the fifth generation from Adam in the days of Jared. I lost another point, but it is important for those reasons. And again, God chose to include it in his word, and I love studying about all of it.
Well, you know, to me, it really builds my faith, for one thing. But it sharpens my appetite for more knowledge, to know how vast creation is being, and the awesome presence of the Almighty, and his power, his glory, his unfathomable my little feeble brain. It truly is. It really is. But who are the shining ones?
So the shining ones are the Watchers. Of course, Lucifer is the shining one himself, mentioned in the Old Testament. Fascinating topic by Derek Gilbert. We had our Mysteries of the Bible verse, and Derek Gilbert spoke for us there. His topic was Lucifer, the fallen angel, more powerful than Satan. Now, I don't necessarily intend on going too far down that one, but his theory was fascinating in the fact that Lucifer and Satan are actually two separate beings. We have popularized Lucifer as being Satan in fundamental Christianity the last couple of hundred years, but actually Lucifer does not appear in the Hebrew text. It's translated in the King James in Isaiah chapter 15 or chapter 12. So Lucifer is mentioned in the King James, though he's not really in the Hebrew. Basically, what Derek Gilbert theorizes is that Lucifer is actually Shin-Yaza, the leader of the rebellious watchers in Genesis chapter 6, who decide to descend down on Mount Hermon. So we, as 21st century Christians, we have been taught that the great evil in God's creation was the fall of Adam, that was the turning point of everything. Well, Paul and the New Testament authors, they had a different view of what the great evil was, and that was the rebellion of the angels in Genesis chapter 6. And we've mentioned this a lot already, so if folks want to look back, Genesis chapter 6, verse 1, verse 2, and verse 4, it talks about the sons of God, the Bnei Elohim, who descend and have offspring with women and have giants. And so New Testament authors, Second Temple literature, they knew the great wrong in this world as that. And we of course, mostly pointed out as Adam's fall. I remember the other point I wanted to make on why this is important. There are questions that are difficult for Christians to answer. And so let me pose one or two of those. First of all, Mars, the planet Mars, obviously had water on it at some point. You can see the river valleys, you can see the lake beds, you can see the ocean beds on Mars and on pictures on Mars. So as Christians, how do we answer, well, how did Mars have water on it? Well, I don't know the answer, but I do know that that is not incompatible with God's creation. God created Mars. Whether Mars had water on it in the last 7,500 years, which is, I believe, how old the Earth is, whether it had water on it in that point or whether that was another one of Elohim's creations before the Earth. I have no problem with either one. Neither one messes with my theology of what Jesus Christ did for us. Another question that is difficult for Christians to answer, and I'll pose it to you now, how does a Christian explain sharks and Tyrannosaurus rex in a creation where God created all beasts to be herbivores? On day six of creation, God creates all the animals, beasts of the field, to eat green herbs. And here we got a break coming, so we'll try to answer that
through the break.
Once we get back.
Interesting. Folks, questions, comments next half hour, as always, at 844-769-2944. Don't go away.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling the Manna Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give the Manna a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to namana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers, made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is war. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
You know, folks, we talked to Micah Van Hoose and discussed the book that he wrote, for his first book actually, called Ancient Cities. So this will make two of his books I've gotten. I've got a third one on the way also. But the one on how the earth was so fascinating. So fascinating. What little I've been blessed to understand as far as ancient history. And the giants that walked the earth. And they were here in America. They were all basically all over the world. And just interesting in what the scripture talks about in those things. Just, they were real. They existed. I don't know all the ins and outs about everything that happened, how they all got here necessarily. I do know that Noah was family was the last one, the pure blood left in the world. And I wonder today too, Mike, if all this medical vaccines and all the other things are doing, if they're not polluting our bloodline again. Is that a fair question?
It is a fair question, and I think one of the greatest evidences against evolution is the fact that DNA is degrading. Evolution teaches that we're getting better. We're going to be enlightened. Just what Satan told Eve in the Garden of Eden, you will become like God. And so, yes, our DNA is degrading. If you make a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy, it's just going to get worse. It's never going to get better. And so, yeah, absolutely. I think the vaccine possibly plays a role in that. But definitely, you know, we've got all these ailments that we never used to have, gluten tolerance and whatever else. Yeah, I think DNA is just breaking down. We're a world of sin. We have sin in the world.
I think there's no doubt about that. But now, there's so many other things along this book I'd like to ask you, but I'm not going to get into all those. I don't have time to. But the Bible, as you said, the Bible says that it wasn't days of Noah, so it should be in the coming of Son of Man. What do you mean by that? What's your view on that?
So We will, for those listening, we will get back to the question of how do we explain carnivores in a world of herbivores. But in the days of Noah, Jesus
go ahead and explain that carnivores first. Go ahead.
Okay. So the question, though, that I proposed before the break was, how do we as Christians explain the existence of Tyrannosaurus rex, sharks, carnivores in a world where God created all the beasts to eat green herbs? That's what it says in Genesis chapter 1. Well, and of course, that was the broader question of why is it important to study these mysterious topics? Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Well, so I guess I propose, how do you answer that question? Explain sharks and Tyrannosaurus rex. Well, I do have a theory. First of all, I do believe that the Nephilim and the watchers are the angels that rebelled against Elohim in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 said God's creation had become corrupted. The animals had become corrupted, and it repented God that he had made the animals and mankind. Well, the book of Enoch, which is not inspired word of God, though I do believe that the book of Enoch is correct history on a lot of things, it talks about what the watchers and their offspring, the Nephilim, the giants, were doing to Elohim's creation. And one of the things it says is that the Nephilim were sinning against the animals. I believe that the giants in the Old Testament were mixing the DNA of animals, mixing the DNA of humans and animals, creating chimeras and hybrids. First of all, we have the ancient Egyptian gods that are all half human, half animal. We see the ancient Greek and Roman gods of mythology. They're superhumans with superpowers. And so I do believe that the Nephilim were mixing the DNA and corrupting Elohim's creation. Some of the stuff that the Book of Enoch talks about is backed up in Scripture. First of all, the watchers, the fallen angels, the B'nai HaElohim, they taught all kinds of forbidden knowledge to mankind. And the Book of Enoch lists that stuff, from abortion to writing, to astronomy, to astrology, to weapons, to makeup, to mixing of herbs and roots, the worship of the sun, the moon, and the stars. They taught all kinds of forbidden knowledge to mankind. Well, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 17, it, in so many words, says that the angels taught the cubit to mankind. That is the ancient unit of measurement from the tip of the middle finger to the elbow.
Right.
It's the vision of John has a man measuring heaven. He's using the cubit, the measure of a man that is of the angel. So that verse, Revelation 21, 17, shows us that the angels taught the cubit to mankind. So they were teaching all kinds of forbidden knowledge. But I do believe that the giants were corrupting Elohim's creation. When God tells Noah to take clean and unclean animals on the ark, what is he talking about? Well, we know clean and unclean today as Levitical law. You can't eat pork if you follow Levitical law. Well, maybe, but Levitical law didn't happen until 1,800 years after the flood. So maybe God was telling Noah it was okay to take Nephilim corrupted animals on the ark when he says you can take unclean animals. That's not a proof, but that's a theory on how that fits in. So I do believe that we get carnivores from the giants corrupting Elohim's creation, one of the reasons that God chose to cleanse the earth.
Wow. That's very interesting. That really is. That's, you know, and I do believe that you're right. We're seeing the same thing today. Our gene pool's been corrupted. Our DNA has been polluted. It's been going on for a long, long time. But the COVID jab was one huge move in that direction. I do believe with all my heart. We're seeing the, I won't say Nephilim working necessarily, but we're seeing the, I guess you say, fallen angels or the devils, the devils of this world, the spirits of the world, leading man in that direction, aren't we?
Absolutely, and that gets a little bit into my third book, Secret Societies, which is, you know, what is the secret society's ultimate goal? When we talk about secret societies, we're talking about, you know, Freemasons, Illuminati, Knights Templar, any and all of the, and actually I include the Catholic Church in a bit of that. And so, you know, I think that what the secret societies are leading humanity towards is enlightenment. The secret societies, so let's back up a little bit. Let's get into Genesis chapter 4, the sons of Lamech. So when we're talking about the knowledge that the watchers taught to mankind, this also is rooted in the secret societies. In fact, the knowledge of the watchers, what we don't know, is what the secret societies, the knowledge that they are passing along. So the sons of Lamech, Jubal, Jabal, and Tubal-Cain, I think, yes, that's correct. They are the first ones mentioned in Scripture with having knowledge. That's Genesis chapter 4. Tubal-Cain was an artificer of metals. He mixed metals. One of them was a player of the harp and organ. So they had knowledge. Now, Scripture only goes that far. But there's over a dozen ancient accounts, including Josephus and some other writings, that say that they had tried to preserve, those sons tried to preserve the knowledge of the watchers through the destruction. Those writings say that they knew that God was going to destroy the earth either with fire or water. They didn't know which. So they carved the knowledge of the watchers on two pillars, one that would survive water, one that would survive fire. In the ancient Arabic legends, there's three of them. This is called the Emerald Tablet. There's some that speculate that the pyramids were built before the flood to house one of these pillars of knowledge, including the Great Pyramid of Giza. So after the flood, according to these legends, the Greek god Hermes, he finds the knowledge of the watchers on one of the pillars, and he shares that knowledge with Nimrod, and Nimrod uses that knowledge to build mighty Babylon and corrupt mankind against God. Now, the Freemasons claim that Nimrod was the first excellent grandmaster of the Freemasons. Nimrod employed thousands of masons to build his cities, and according to legends, built the Tower of Babel, though Scripture never says he builds it, but I do believe he did, according to legends. And so that is the knowledge of the watchers. The knowledge of the watchers teaches, they're called the Hermetic religions. Hermes found the knowledge. The Hermetic religions are religions of enlightenment. We're talking about New Age. We're talking about theosophy. We're talking about Hinduism, Buddhism, Shinto, all the ancient Eastern religions. Hinduism was founded in 2000 BC. And so these are the Hermetic religions, all teaching that we as humans can ascend into godhood ourselves through various means. Well, that is the knowledge of the watchers, the principalities and powers of the air. They are telling us that we can become gods. What did Satan tell Eve in the Garden of Eden? If you eat this fruit, you will become as God. Yes. And so that is the knowledge that was preserved. And not only are they trying to tell us we can become gods, in other words, we don't need God, we are gods ourselves, they are also trying to usher in a final battle against the oppressive God of the Bible, the oppressive creator, in their words. And guess what? The secret societies, the princes and the powers of the air behind them, they will get their final battle with God. It's called the Battle of Armageddon. And, of course, they will not win that battle. But they will be successful in ushering it in. So that is a little bit of a rabbit trail, but it's fascinating to talk about the knowledge of the watchers.
So tell me this. What religions today? We can say, if you want to say a Christian sect, that's fine. But what religions today are the most Masonic, most demonically influenced ones? I mean, are they the Catholics, the Baptists? Who would you say?
Okay, a couple. First of all, New Age movement. The New Age movement is the embodiment of theosophy and teaching us that we can become gods. If we are different variations, but we will join the gods in the cosmos and leave everybody else on this earth. In fact, theosophy teaches that there are already a number of people who have attained godhood throughout history, such as Jesus and Buddha and Saint Germain and a few others, who have already ascended to godhood themselves. And we, as long as we attain their knowledge, will do it as well. Now, the Catholic Church, I do believe that the leadership of the Catholic Church is influenced by Satan. Now, I'll make this point. There are a lot of good people in Catholicism, a lot of good people in Freemasonry. I think that the people at the bottom, the low-level members, the initiates, the employees, most of them don't really know what the elites at the top of those organizations are doing. I don't know if we have time to go into the full Catholic Church concept, but I do believe that Satan, the great deceiver, has nestled himself so close to the cross to deceive even the very elect. And I think Satan is involved in the leadership of the Catholic Church. Let's go through the Pope real quick. First of all, Jesus says to call no man father on this earth, only your father in heaven.
That's true.
Well, what does Pope mean? Papus means father. So there, a lot of Catholics will call the Pope father. Jesus says not to do that. There are three popes in the last recent times who have said that they are God. Pope Pius X, he said, I can't remember the exact quote, He talks about being God, and him and God are not very far off from being different. And then Pope, I lost it already, but the latest one was Pope Francis. He said, Jesus is my being. You think we are very far apart. The Pope also says that the Pope is the communion between man and God, whereas Jesus says he is the mediator between God and man. So I do believe that the leadership of the Catholic Church is deceiving many. And the Secret Society's book leads into the idea of the Pope being the false prophet in the book of Revelation. And yeah, I'm just trying to think where to go with that. I know we're going to take some questions, so I'll just cut it off there and let you take it, Pastor Butch.
All right, folks, the line's open. If you have any questions, comments, we'd love to hear from you. Interesting discussion. If you called last night, whatever, that's fine. Call again. We don't mind. Give us your input. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. Well, you know, we could get in a lot of discussion. I mean, I do know for a fact that a lot of Baptist churches are infiltrated by Masons, big time. I know that. And as you said, some of them probably are naive what's going on. Many aren't. But the leadership of the hierarchy in most so-called religions today are evil. They have been for a long time. Now, these mega churches, pastors are involved in so many different things, some in child trafficking, some in child molestation. We know that to be true also. So we see the powers of the enemy that has influenced and infiltrated the churches everywhere and is deceiving millions of people into hell. Now, is this part of the, as it was in the days of Noah, deception all over the earth?
Yes, absolutely. The folks being deceived. I mean, Noah and Methuselah preached 120 years, according to the book of Jasher, and I do believe the book of Genesis references that, and nobody repented. So God says in the end times he will send a great delusion, a great deception, and I think many who are proud, doesn't mean he's trying to deceive innocent people, but people will be so proud that they will be deceived, and I think we're seeing quite a bit of that today.
I agree. I totally agree. And man has always, as starting in the garden, wanted to be as God. And they still do. Mm-hmm. And we know we have the popes, as you mentioned. The current one is absolutely pro-homosexual, pro-sexual perversion every way possible. That should tell the Catholic members of the so-called Catholic Church they shouldn't be in there, and certainly not supporting it. That should be enough to drive away millions of members of that religion, but it's not. Unfortunately, it's not. So there's no excuse for that. There's no excuse for somebody falling for that. Once they see what the hierarchy is doing, they should never be a part of that again. There's no way that they can get out of that with any kind of excuse. Let's go to Washington State and talk to Carolyn. Carolyn, come on in.
Hi, thank you. Hi, Micah. Some of the preachers that are against believing that there were Nephilim that were fallen angels that mated with women, they say that there's no way that they could impregnate a woman because they have to be of like kind, and that they certainly weren't, and the sperm wouldn't be compatible with the egg. What do you say on that?
So I don't know the inner workings, but I do know that Genesis chapter 6 says that they did, and that's good enough for me. Now, there's a number of evidences. Thanks for the question, Carolyn. There's a number of evidences, if we took the time to go through the book of Enoch and other pieces of Scripture that talk about the angels who rebelled. But for my part, the direct answer to your question, Genesis chapter 6 is good enough for me. Now, on that point, a lot of folks will say that Matthew chapter 22, verse 30, I think it is, where Jesus says God's angels in heaven are neither married nor given in marriage, is the greatest evidence against them being able to do that. First of all, these are God's angels in heaven that are not, they're God's angels and they're in heaven. And these angels in Genesis chapter 6, they rebelled against God, so they're no longer God's angels and they're no longer in heaven. They decided to become mortal. So when they take on the mortal flesh, opoteron is the word, the same word used when Jesus ascends into heaven and takes off his earthly body. I do believe that they had the ability in the earthly bodies they took. Now, angels touching humans should not be a strange concept to us as Christians. Angels wrestled with Jacob, the angel of the Lord did. Angels came and ate with Abraham and grabbed Lot and his family by the hand and took them out of the city. So there's many instances in Scripture where angels have physical bodies when they choose to. And so again, the direct answer is I believe that Genesis chapter 6. I don't need to try to get my way out of the meaning. I do take the Bible for face value and what it says.
Okay. Well, I agree on that, too. But they say that you shouldn't even talk about the book of Enoch because it was written by somebody else. I forgot what they call it.
Yes, ma'am.
And it was written years after Enoch was dead. He seems to fill in all the puzzle pieces are missing beautifully, but they say it's not scriptural, so ignore it.
Well, that's I'm sorry, but I'm going to say, have you ever read any of Josephus's work, Carolyn?
No, I haven't.
Well, Josephus is a historical writer, just about like what Enoch was.
Well,
Enoch
I know more, who he is.
Yes. So now, if you ignore that, you have to ignore Josephus, because he wrote history. Enoch wrote mostly history. See, it wasn't scriptural, maybe, perhaps, but it was definitely history. Go ahead.
Let me do you one better. Jude. Literally in our Bible, the book of Jude quotes the book of Enoch. That's Jude chapter 1. The book of 2 Peter quotes Enoch. So Peter and Jude quote Enoch. They were scholars of it. There's one important point. I'm not saying that Jesus called the book of Enoch scripture. But my point is, Jesus does call a book scripture that does not appear in the Old Testament. Also, excuse me, there's fireworks going off out here. This is Mark chapter 12 and Matthew chapter 22. The Pharisees are trying to catch Jesus, and they say, if a man marries a woman and he dies, and his brother marries her and he dies, and down to the seventh generation or seventh brother, whose wife is she in heaven? And that is the point where Jesus says, know you not the scriptures, for the angels of the Lord in heaven, they knew the marriage, weren't given in marriage. Well, guess what? That does not appear in the Old Testament. So Jesus is calling some ancient work scripture that does not appear in the Old Testament. I'm not saying it's the book of Enoch. The book of Enoch does say that. But there are other writings that do say that. So that is food for thought, that Jesus called something scripture that we don't have, but that we know as scripture.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you. Are you acquainted with Steve Quayle?
I have communicated with him once or twice.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. You're welcome, Carolyn.
Thank you. I was in Washington State about 2 weeks ago. Beautiful place.
How about that? Folks, got time for another phone call. Hurry. 844-769-2944. Love those kind of questions. I do. That means that somebody's thinking. And I love this kind of question.
Well,
you want to call me questions, comments, go ahead.
Pastor,
go ahead,
if Michael. Folks want to ask me questions, go to marginalmysteries.com, marginalmysteries.com, link to my Facebook, link to my YouTube. There's even a comment button on the website. So feel free to reach out that way.
MarginalMysteries.com. Okay, they can contact you through your site.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And, Micah, we're down about the last, about 4 or 5 minutes here. What do you want to close in? If this were your last 4 or 5 minutes talk to the people, what would you want to say?
Kind of on Carolyn's question of, you know, what's the evidence? And I said we don't have a ton of time because there's a lot of evidence in Scripture that backs up what the book of Enoch is talking about. So let's go through one or two of the primary points on that. First of all, the book of Enoch talks about the fallen angels who were cast into prison, the archangels Michael and Raphael cast Azazel and Shemyaza into the pit, into the prison. We find the mention of these angels in chains in prison all throughout Scripture. The book of Isaiah says that Messiah will go down into the pit and minister to those angels. Guess what? 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18, 19, and 20, Jesus dies on the cross, and his physical body is dead on this earth, but his spirit is on this earth for 3 days. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18, 19, 20 says that Jesus goes down into the abyss and proclaims his victory to the spirits that made trouble in the days of Noah. Another evidence, the book of Enoch says that when mankind could no longer satiate the giants began to eat mankind and drink their blood. Guess what? We find that in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, I think. It's when the spies go to the land and they give the report of the land, they say the land is filled with the people who eat the inhabitants thereof. They are the sons of Anak. Basically, the giants are eating the people in Numbers chapter 13. So there are a number of things, and that's just the tip of the iceberg because I'm trying to rush through this, that gives evidence that the Scripture backs up what the book of Enoch is talking about. It's a fascinating study.
It really is. It really and truly is. And history itself teaches from ancient peoples that the giants did eat them. I mean, that comes out of history. So there's nothing really, I will say, new about that, because it's been taught in throughout history. Folks, this is all for real. Do you think, we're down about the last 3 minutes here, do you think we'll see some of this come back in the last days?
I think it's quite possible. In fact, we are seeing the mixing of human and animal DNA. Articles from 2019, I have one of my presentations where China is mixing monkey and human hybrid embryos. Now, the United States Senate passed the Frontiers Act in 2021 to allow the mixing of human and animal DNA, but the House did not pass it, so it did not become official U.S. law to allow the study of that. But you know that we're doing it anyway. I think Pine Island, which is next to Long Island, New York, you'll see all kinds of strange creatures washing up on the shore south of Pine Island. It's a government bioengineering, animal bioengineering lab. It's been there since the 50s. But you're seeing all kinds of DNA mixing throughout the world today.
Well, you know, no doubt. And what we read, I have an ancient mythology about the half man, half horse, or the gargoyles, all these things. I believe they really existed. I truly do. I think they existed.
Absolutely.
I don't think they were a myth at all. I think they existed. And we could see this come back today, in today's time. I don't know that. My opinion says it could happen. And who knows what's going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. And, folks, we're flat out of time. I'm going to let him go. But, Micah, thank you so much for what you're doing, for what you're teaching. And keep in mind what I ask you about August 31st and see what you work out on that.
Thank you, Pastor Butch, and I appreciate you having me on. It's always good to be with you.
All right. I'll talk to you soon, my friend. You have a wonderful day.
Yes,
have
sir.
A wonderful night. Talk to you soon. Folks, I don't know if I can do to add anything to that. That was a great broadcast. I really enjoyed that very much. To get to talk to a man of his caliber and of his intelligence, oh, wow. It's just unbelievable. His knowledge fascinates me. But nonetheless, I want to thank all of y'all for being there. And please excuse us tomorrow. We're going to take tomorrow off, if you don't mind. I think for sure Crystal deserved it, and Shannon too. Maybe I take a day off. Won't bother me none either. Won't hurt me at all. But don't forget, Saturday we'll be together for Bible study to finish up a lesson on how Solomon conquered Gomorrah. How Solomon conquered America. Well, Gomorrah. Solomon, that's who we are. Solomon just enhanced America, I guess, because now we're Solomon and Gomorrah. But we're going to get into that lesson to find out why it happened, how we were duped. I said how we were duped into breaking God's laws to allow this to happen. The church was duped into breaking God's laws to allow this abomination to occur and grow. That's what this is all about. We do need your help, folks. I mean that seriously. We love you, and I want to go as long as our Father says go. And without your help, we can't do it. But I love you a bunch. I will talk to you again next Monday. Have a great day tomorrow, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.